It's good to be back with you, by the way. I praise God for His goodness every day. You know, His mercies are new every morning. This is the day the Lord has made. And God's given life and breath to us. He's given us another opportunity to be together with Him, with His people. And God's doing some amazing things in the midst of all the craziness and the chaos. Amen. You got to quit paying attention to that man behind the curtain, you know. Yeah, and especially that thing that you see up there on the screen. You know, the great and terrible, I don't know what they think it is, but we serve a great and mighty God, amen, who's on the throne. He is sovereign, and the Lord will be glorified in all the earth. And yes, every knee will bow to Him. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All the kings and their kingdoms are all going to be, amen, brought under the rule of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. So we together say, even so, come Lord Jesus, right? Hallelujah. Be ready, because the Lord is going to come. And I'll tell you exactly when He's going to come. When the Father tells Him to come. All right. So there we go. And not a second later. All right. And you know the Lord is looking forward to that day when He shall come and get His bride, get His people. So we're looking to that day. We're looking forward to better things, a new heaven and a new earth. So many people today are looking around at this crazy world and they're asking, is God really in control? You know, if you ask people that, especially Christians, of course, we're going to be quick to say, yes, of course, God's in control. But I want to talk about that, and I want to shed a little light on that whole subject today, because I feel that we need to have more than just a pat answer for everything. But there are reasons why things are as crazy as they are today. And by the way, it's not God's fault. All the sick stuff going on, all the craziness going on, it's not God's fault. Amen? So, the title of today's message is God in Control. Is God in Control? Now, we know that all things, whether it be thrones, dominions, powers, have been created, amen, by our God, our Creator. And we know in Colossians 1:16, it says, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. John chapter 1 verse 3 says, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. We know that all things are held together by the word of His power. In Hebrews 1 and verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Through whom? Through Jesus He made the worlds. Who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So as we see the moon reflect the sun, so the sun is the glory and the reflection, the image of the Father that we see. You and I, amen, are the light, He said now, of what? The world and the salt of the earth. We are the little lights that are to light up the night, amen? As the Lord Jesus Himself, amen, is our light, and He's the one that lights our lamp. Our responsibility is to keep a supply of oil to the lamp. Amen. Because without Him we can do. Amen. So the New Living Translation says He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. So God's word holds everything in its place. If there was no word of God, there would be nothing but chaos. Amen? Lawlessness. So wherever God is not, it's chaotic. It's dark. And God will be where He's invited to be, where He's wanted to be. He is a gentleman, amen, and He doesn't push Himself on you. He gives you the option, the opportunity to open up the door and let Him in. If it wasn't for the command of God, nothing would exist and nothing would remain intact. Genesis 1 and verse 2 says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So the world in the beginning, before God spoke, was in a very chaotic situation. But the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the void, over the deep. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So what happened is that the Spirit of the Lord moved in agreement with the command of the Father. Amen? Let there be, and there was. How many know that the Holy Spirit is always in full agreement with the Father and the Son? There's no disconnect there. Amen? So when we speak the Word of God in agreement with the will of God, the Spirit of God moves. Okay? In the earth realm. God wants to manifest Himself in the earth realm, and He has called you and I to partner with Him for that to happen. In order for there to be light, we have to be the light in positions of darkness. Amen? Because the light always does better when it's dark. Light up the night, somebody. You see, I know it's easy to be around Christians all the time and be around people that agree with you. But that's not reality. We live in a sin-sick world, and you and I, apart from Jesus, are no different than anybody else. We're certainly not better than anybody else. We're just different because God made us different. Amen. We're a new creation. Amen. So the Word of God and the Spirit of God always work in concert, always work in harmony together. So God in the beginning had delegated, remember, this authority to mankind that He should rule over the earth realm, the fish, the birds, every living thing. However, man was never to rule independent of his Creator. Man was to rule over the earth realm, but never to rule independent of his Creator. So legitimate authority is authority that is submitted to ultimate authority, which is the authority of the Creator. Amen? So when we come out from under His command, out from under His will, His word, then we are now functioning in an illegitimate authority. And that's what happened with Adam and Eve, isn't it? They came out from under God's authority. They decided to do it their way. And the enemy was waiting for that to happen because he would then have legal permission to come in and usurp the authority that God had given them and create all the problems that we're seeing right now to this day in the earth realm. All right? Now, the solution, as we know, is the last Adam, Jesus Christ, came, amen, to redeem us, to restore us back to fellowship with the Father and reinstate us as ambassadors or representatives of His kingdom government here in the earth. But as a child of God, my responsibility is to submit myself to God. Come on, somebody. He's not going to make you do that. So when you say, is God in control? The question is yes and no. Yes and no. Because of the position that God has given us on the earth, God has delegated authority to mankind to represent Him. Amen? So a lot of times we're blaming God for the things that we do. Because we're not listening to His voice. We take ourselves out from under His authority, and there's always chaos whenever you do that. There's always problems when you do that. When you disobey what you know the Lord is telling you to do, there's going to be consequences for that. And you're allowing your enemy, your adversary, to step in and cause problems. And then he turns right around and he says, God's not good. It's because God's not good. No, it's because we weren't listening. It's because we allowed this to happen because God has given us that authority to enforce what He's already accomplished for us at the cross. Jesus Christ has overcome the sin problem already. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer, amen, under that old taskmaster, Satan. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. You've been set free and you can enforce and walk in that freedom as you submit your will to the will of the Father. As you place yourself under His authority and remain in that place. There's safety under the Father's umbrella. Can you say amen? So when man sinned, he became separated from his Maker. Everything became chaotic. So why is there so much dysfunction? So much chaos? Why is everything so crazy and dark right now? Well, it's because of choices that man has made. Because man has the ability to choose who he will serve. And if people choose not to serve their Creator and serve their own selfish ambitions, well, how many know that selfishness hurts people? You can find at the root of every sin is selfishness. And so God came to deliver us from our selfishness. God came to deliver us from ourselves. Yes, the biggest enemy I face on a daily basis is me. And I know that's not politically correct because everybody's intrinsically good according to them. One of these days I'm going to meet them. I don't know who they are. You know, have you noticed there's a lot of experts today? Experts say, who's the expert? Well, they don't have any name for the expert. There's just experts have said. Well, if they're experts, they must be experts. Therefore, I'm just going to believe whatever the expert tells me because they said they're an expert. And you know everything that you hear on television is true. And on the internet these days more. But as a result of decisions, choices, even that our forefathers have made, you know, problems, generational curses, things have come down, family generations, amen, and affected so many. The good news is that in Christ Jesus, those things can be broken. Amen. You can have a brand new, talk about a reset. Amen. The world's talking about a reset. Well, you need a reset in Jesus Christ. Amen. You need to become a new creation. Hallelujah. And sever the ties to the old. Come into Christ. Come into new life. Into a new beginning. Not into an improvement on the old, but a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. In Romans 1:18, it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, amen. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So when people refuse the love of the truth, when they refuse to acknowledge the obvious, you look at the sun and the moon and the stars, there's got to be a Creator. Somebody say amen. But if you do not want to retain God in your mind, you want to put Him out of your life, then you're giving the enemy permission to inhabit those places of darkness. Because where God is not, that's where evil dwells. That's where things are chaotic. In the areas where there is chaos in my own life, it means that there's a lack of the Lord there. There's a lack of light or revelation or truth, because it was the truth that God spoke to the void. Amen. He said, let there be light. Amen. And it was good. But the Word of God is so powerful and it's so necessary that people understand what the truth is. And that we need to be listening and hearing the Word of God. Amen. Because where the Word enters in, there is light. Where there is light, the darkness cannot abide. And a person cannot see if they're walking in darkness. That's why we need to be embracing the truth, embracing the Word of God, and be yes when it comes to God. Amen. Man is a free moral agent. God gave us that freedom to choose in the beginning. But whenever we take ourselves out from under His protection by using our will in an evil sense, then we subject ourselves to our adversary who's looking to get a foothold in our lives. Why? Because just as God is looking for vessels to possess and fill and to use, so the enemy is roaming about looking for those. Amen. Who have that void in their life because there's a lack of truth. There's a lack of God's presence. He's looking for a place to occupy. And so what God wants to do is He wants to fill His people completely with Himself. So there's no part in us that's dark. Amen. And in order to have His light, we have to be receptive to the light. We have to be receiving the truth. And we cannot approach God's Word as if it were some kind of a smorgasbord, you know. Like it's a buffet, and I like the dessert aisle over here, but I don't know about the meat and the potatoes. I don't know about this other stuff. And, you know, that demonic liver, oh. But somebody said liver's good for you. My dad used to say that. I was like, how can this be good for you, Dad? But it's rich in iron, they say, right? But you need the whole balance. You need the full diet. We need to be embracing everything. Why? Because we want to be healthy. We want to be strong. Amen? And we want to be filled with God. Because if we're not filled with Him, the enemy will gladly fill up the empty places. And if he's got a stronghold in your life, then God wants to kick that dude out. Amen? And He wants to replace him with Himself. But if we're not cooperating, if we're not submitting ourselves under the authority of God, then the enemy will continue to do his nasty business in our lives. And one of these days we have to wake up and say, hey, you know what? Sin is stupid. It doesn't work. It doesn't satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy. God gave us charge as free moral agents to choose who we will serve. And because God gave us charge over ourselves, we are responsible for what we do and say in our bodies. Well, God is in control. Well, guess what? God is not in control of your life if you don't want Him to be. Amen. When we were lost in sin, we did what sinners do. And, you know, we didn't have anything to do with God during that time. Okay, now people go out and they abuse people. They take advantage of people. They hurt people. Amen. Well, is God in control of that? No, because God gave people freedom to choose. And so there are consequences for sin. Amen. Sin is selfishness. Selfishness always hurts other people. When the Lord revealed Himself to us, when He came to this earth, we were able to see the heart of God in the person of Jesus Christ. We knew the law, we knew the letter, but then the heart of God was revealed through the Son. He came to show us what God is really like. So we could understand. He came to set the captives free. He came to heal and to restore and to become our sacrifice. To pay the ultimate price. The price that we deserve to pay. Because God loves you. He loves us so much. He was willing to go all the way to the cross for us. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. I know some people don't have the fear of God. They don't believe that. But that is reality. There are consequences for the things that we do, the things that we choose to do. And even though you may be getting away with it for a while, eventually payday comes. Eventually the devil comes and say, okay, it's time to pay up. And it's not worth it. So God gives us the choice who we will serve. Verse 8 says, for he who sows to his flesh of the sin nature will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. In Christ Jesus, we're a new creation. We can now live according to the rule of the Spirit. We have the power to live, amen, over the power of sin because God has broken that in our lives. We're without excuse, amen. You can't say as a child of God, the devil made you do it. No, you did it. Amen. And because you did it, now you're sorry about it. And repentance is not just being sorry that you got caught. Repentance is me being sorry enough that I'm not doing it again. I'm turning away from it. I'm done. I'm done with the devil. I'm done with the world. I'm done with the flesh. I'm ready for Jesus now. You see, you're really not ready for Jesus until you're done with you. You're not ready for Jesus until you're done with sin. Think about this. Repentance is not just saying, God, I'm sorry, and go out and out and repeating it. Repentance is saying, I'm sorry enough, or I'm not doing it anymore. I'm going to submit myself now to God. I'm under new ownership, new management, amen. I'm listening to the voice of God now. I'm no longer going to indulge that old nature, that sin, that flesh. I'm going to quit sowing into that because it only reaps corruption. But when we sow in agreement with the will of God, when we submit ourselves and we do that which is pleasing to the Father as we obey His Word, His instruction in our lives, hallelujah, you have life and peace in the Spirit. How many here have children? You, when your children are doing well, you want to bless your children, amen? And when they do bad, it doesn't mean that you hate them. It does mean, though, that they're not going to be rewarded for it if you're a good parent. There's going to be consequences for those choices because I love you enough to where I'm going to have to get the point across that you're going to understand that it's going to hurt to disobey. All right. Not because I hate you, but because I love you enough that I don't want you to go to hell. Now, be careful. You might wound Johnny's fragile little ego. That's the problem, is Johnny's fragile little ego. Now we got Johnny acting out in the streets today. You know, if we don't discipline our children, they won't learn to be self-disciplined as adults. When the Lord returns, hallelujah, He's going to establish His universal order on the earth. Right now, guys, things are crazy. No mystery. Our world is doing some really, there's a big shaking taking place right now. How many here beside even me would say, you know what, my life, I've been shaken by a lot of the things that have been happening lately. Okay. And if you haven't, I want to come talk to you afterwards because I want to know what the answer was for that. But no, we know that the only place of stability in the midst of all this is in the Lord. The Lord is the strength of our life. He's the one that will keep us, amen, from losing our mind. He will keep us in His peace. He has supernatural peace available to those who trust Him. So, guys, why don't we do ourselves a favor and start rejoicing? Start enjoying life. Come on, get out of the boob tube. Get away from all the drama and all the stupid stuff that they're trying to propagate and throw on you to get you to pick up that bait of hopelessness and depression and all the ugly stuff the devil just wants to get you involved with. Instead, why don't we just say, let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's lift up praise to our God. Let's get together with God's people and let's have a celebration. Let's rejoice in the Lord our God. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God is pleased that you're here today, by the way. Did you know that? God is pleased that you're here today. Why? Because the Lord's idea was that we get together. Amen. It's His idea, not mine, that we get together. We gather in His name. The Lord is pleased. He said, I'll be there. He's with us today. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity." The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Now, the first coming of the Lord was as a suffering servant. The Lord came as the Lamb of God to be our substitute, our sacrifice. He came to fulfill all righteousness. He lived a sinless life, and then he went to the cross. And the Bible says that God the Father laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world." God loved us that much that he sent his only begotten Son. Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep." And he went all the way to the cross for us. The first time he came was a suffering servant to be our sacrifice, to pay the price that we deserve to pay. But the next time he comes, he's not coming this time to be spat on, to be mocked, to be crucified. He's coming this time as King of Kings. And what? Lord of Lords. He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. Every knee will bow to him. Hallelujah. Of those things in heaven, those things on the earth, and those things under the earth. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:11, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, with it he shall strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." This is the way he's coming this time. Today is the day of salvation. Today we need to repent. Today we need to turn to God for the mercy that he's so abundantly pouring out and making available to whosoever will, to the cross. If they will come in repentance and faith and call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be delivered. But if people continue to refuse the Lord, even as they did in the days of Noah, he was patient 120 years as Noah preached, a preacher of righteousness. They continued to resist and rebel against the Spirit of the Lord. And the day came when the Lord said, "It's up. Time up. And it's coming again." God is saying now, today is a day. Repent of your sins and come. Come to the fountain. Be washed in the blood. Be restored to fellowship with me. I want to share my kingdom with you. That's God's heart. His heart is redemptive. He wants to save people. He's not willing that anyone should perish. But we have to turn to him. We have to be willing to say, "Now, Lord, be Lord of me, all of me." And on his robe and on his thigh, a name written, hallelujah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Yeah, every knee's going to bow. Guys, no matter what they're saying, no matter what they're doing in the political arenas, whatever these kings and these queens and these politicians, whatever they think about themselves, guess what? The day is coming when they too will be humbled, when they too will bow their knees. Hallelujah. And they'll know that he is God and they are not. Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he, Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that," what? "Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Again, the Lord is being patient. He's not willing that anyone should perish. But there comes a time when the Lord says enough. Time up. And that day is quickly approaching. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord," this is the day of God's judgment, of God's wrath, "will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless," here it is, verse 13, "we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness," right? Righteousness dwells. What is His promise? What is the promise that we look forward to? Well, the new heavens and the new earth, right? It's right. The answer is right there. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God's going to make everything new, that God's going to restore everything, that God's going to put an end to all the foolishness, to all the abuse, to all the things that have been done in secret that people have thought that they've gotten away with? God's blown the lid off the whole thing. He's exposing it all. He's separating the sheep from the goats. He's going to have a bride. He's going to have a holy people. He's going to be having a church that's ready. Are you hearing me, somebody? And I want to be part of that. I want to go up on the first load. I'm looking forward to the day when the Lord calls and says, "Come up and gather together in His name." Amen. I believe in a rapture. I believe a catching away. He's coming for His bride, the one that has been looking for Him. He will return a second time without sin unto salvation. Isaiah 65 and 17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former," I'm sorry, guys, I know there's some people that are trying to save the earth. I don't advocate abusing the earth, guys, but you're not going to save the earth. And you're not going to save yourself. There's only one Savior and one God. Amen. "But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy." God's going to restore all things. In verse 19, "I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 120 years, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit." Guys, I believe that the Lord has come to redeem a people who are going to be His bride, His church, who will be with Him. Amen? And then when the Lord returns and we are with Him, we shall be in that order with Him. If we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. Amen. But on the earth, God is going to restore things to where people live long lives again. This is what He's talking about. It's going to be this called the millennial reign. "And they shall build houses," verse 21, inhabit them. "They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor shall bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The dust shall be the serpent's food." Yes. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain," says the Lord. They shall not what? Hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. What are we looking forward to? The new heavens and the new earth, where righteousness dwells. The Lord is our righteousness. there's going to be universal peace. I know we sing that song on Christmas, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. You know? And wherever Jesus is, there's peace. Amen? There's goodwill towards men wherever Jesus is. But the Lord has gone away on a journey, has He not? He's returned to the Father's house to prepare a place for His bride, for His people. Amen? And if He's gone away, He's going to return again, just like He said. And He's coming for those who are looking for Him. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So guys, when things start to seem overwhelming and out of control, know that God has made some promises for us. Amen? That He's going to restore everything. He's going to make all things new. And the day is coming, guys, when He's going to put an end to all this foolishness that we're seeing right now. Hallelujah. So encourage yourself. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. And just remember that the day is coming, amen, when Jesus shall reign. Hallelujah. There's going to be peace, but man will never be able to achieve this. The Lord will. So some people confess, and the reason why I'm really, the Lord has put this on my heart is because, guys, a lot of times we're just very flippant about, well, God is in control. And sometimes we're trying to absolve ourselves from any responsibility or personal responsibility by saying, well, God's in control. It's like the person that says, well, I don't need to be about the Father's business. I don't need to be involved in the harvest or anything because God's in control. It's going to happen. The Bible says it's going to happen. And because the world is going to hell in a handbasket, why should I be involved? Because the Bible says it's going to happen anyways. So therefore, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. This kind of mentality, amen, where the enemy is lying to people. And what he wants to do is he wants to populate hell. But God wants us, amen, to populate heaven. And God is choosing us to partner with Him in the harvest to win people, amen, to Jesus. So God is in control to the degree that you're willing to allow Him to have control in your life. Because, guys, we can do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want, because we have a free will, and we can choose to do something that's foolish and reap the results of that. But it's not God's fault. Because you're not allowing God to have control. You're being your own God. And you're living independent of your Creator, which means you're living a dysfunctional life. Why? Because we were never designed to be independent of our Creator. We were made for Him and for His pleasure. You see, some people say God is in control as a means of putting the full responsibility and blame on God as to what happens on the earth. A lot of people blame God, but they don't understand His ways. God's not to blame. God has demonstrated His love for us at the cross. For God so loved the world. But God wept over Jerusalem. Jesus looked over the city and wept. How often I had wanted to gather you, but you would not. Because of their own rebellion, their own stubbornness, they reaped what they had sown. And guys, it's no different today. America is reaping what it's been sowing. Amen. And the only hope is that America would wake up and realize our only hope is in Jesus Christ. We need to repent and we need to tell people, listen, you need to turn to God. You need to be reconciled to God. That's the problem. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. We've wandered away. We've left our first love. Much in the church today is so worldly you can't tell the difference. We get caught up in that, let's just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You see, God, from the beginning, again, He called us to partnership with Him because He gave us the authority in the earth realm. He delegated that authority, says, now go in my name. Represent me. Speak what I speak do what I do. And I will work through you, and I'll bring transformation, even to cities and to regions and to countries and to people. Amen. Individuals. But he's going to work through individuals that are submitted to his authority and willing to be a vessel for God to work through to accomplish his purposes in the earth. It's just not going to automatically happen. As a matter of fact, that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. God says it's not going to come until, amen, this gospel of the kingdom is preached into all the world as a witness. And right now God is stirring up and shaking up everything, amen, because he's trying to get people's attention that time is running out. We have only but a season now. The night is coming when no man shall work. Let us labor now while we have opportunity. Let's do good to all, amen, as the Lord would direct us. Submitting ourselves to God under his authority. He will give us his authority, amen, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you believe you have authority in Jesus' name? Do you believe that Jesus Christ has overcome sin? Hallelujah. Do you believe the power of sin is broken in your life? Amen. Then no, let's submit ourselves to it anymore. We're under new ownership now. We need to be the light. We need to be the example. We need to be the expression of God's heart in the earth. People need to look at you and say, now that's a child of God. That is a Christian. See, now we have to ask people, are you a Christian? People should know you're a Christian. Amen. On the workplace, wherever you find yourself. Now that's a Christian there. They're dancing to a completely different drum. Amen. Hallelujah. And people are not going to like you all the time. Just get over it. It's okay. They hated Jesus. They're going to hate us too. Amen. But guess what? The day is coming. Amen. Jesus is coming. He's going to reign. And if you're willing to say yes to him and walk with him now, the day will come and say, Lord, the Lord will say, you can come and join me on my throne. Are you with me? Amen. I want to share my kingdom with you. He's going to say to those who've been faithful to him through it all, well done, my good and faithful servant. I know who you are. We don't want to be of those where he says, now who are you? I don't recognize you. But we want to be those when the Lord says, oh yes. I know Annie. I know Rick. I know Barb. I know Aretha. God knows those who belong to him. And if we belong to him, let us depart from evil. Amen. Let us forsake the ways of the world. Let's get our lives filled up, amen, with Jesus, so we're an overflowing cup. No part in us darkness, no chaos going on. Amen. Get over the, if your life is full of drama, do something about it. Some people, man, 10, 20 years of nothing but drama. Are you a child of God? Do something about it. God has authorized you to do something about it. He's given you control of yourself. He's given you the authority in his name, amen, to deal with the devil. Put him in his place. Get him out of your head. Get him out of your business. Get him out of your family. Get him out of your home. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28, I'm almost through. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, a week from tonight, we're going to be having water baptism tonight. Teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Aren't you glad the Lord is with us always? Even to the end of the age, the eon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is God in control? He's on the throne. His Word sustains us. Amen. You understand that if it wasn't for God's Word, nothing would exist and nothing would be held together. Everything would just be completely, you know, chaotic. And that's why God is wanting us to be receptive, to receive His Word, receive what He's saying. Amen? So that His light will come in. Amen? And expel darkness. And He can establish His stronghold in our lives. Hallelujah. And that's why we must cooperate with the Holy Spirit and no longer give place to the devil in any area, guys. Don't think that you're going to get away with it. Well, nobody will notice. It's just a little thing that I do and nobody sees. Guess what? God sees. And the enemy is waiting for that. He's looking for that opportunity to get in and destroy you. Not only you, but those around you. And that's why our society is where it's at. It's a lack of God. That's what's gone on. You know, if the church, the people that are called by His name, we'll say it today, amen, will humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. How many want to see America healed? If you're here today, you need to commit your life to Jesus Christ. You need to give Him your life. Know that the time is now. Today is the day of salvation. If you're not saved, if you were to die today, do you know where you will spend eternity? You don't want to guess about that. You want to get yourself right with God today. Amen. So I want to give you an opportunity in just a few minutes. If you want to come and commit your life or recommit your life, maybe you used to walk with the Lord closely, but you've wandered away. You've been backslidden. God wants to reconcile you today. God wants to restore you today. God wants to forgive you, to cleanse you, to refill you, and to raise you up once again. Hallelujah. God is faithful, and having begun a good work in you, He is able, amen, to complete that, what He's begun. So, Father, today I thank You for the Word. I thank You for Your truth. I thank You that the entrance of Your Word brings light. Lord, I ask You to dispel all darkness. Lord, I ask You to crush Satan under our feet. Lord, I ask You to intervene right now in every heart, every life here. God, I ask You to break the yoke of the oppressor off every one of Your people right now in Jesus' name. Lord, in Your name we take authority right now. And we say, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command you to leave right now. We command you to get out of this place. And Lord, we ask you to come and fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Let's all lift our hands together. Can we do that? Just lift our hands. I'm going to just lead us in a prayer. You want to commit your life to Jesus? You want to make a commitment? Maybe it's the first time for you. You want to receive Jesus. You want to be born again. You want to become a new creation. You want the power of sin broken in your life. Hallelujah. Now is the time. Today is the day of opportunity, of salvation for you. Would you say this with me together? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for paying the price for my sin. I believe you shed your blood. That I might be forgiven. Lord, please forgive me for all of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And Lord, come into my heart and make me a new creation. Transform me into a new creation. I want to live for you. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit and make me bold for you. I want to live for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.